Well, recently, I was on vacation and I came across a lot of people on the street that were panhandling for money, and I wasn't exactly sure how I should respond. I think, like most of us, and although many of us probably don't day-to-day encounter people asking for money on the streets, I think it's definitely a situation that we've all found ourselves in at some point or another. And it's a situation we'll probably find ourselves in at some point in the future. And so it's a very important question, I think, to address. So it's a question I want to address in our series on generosity. And so a question that's going to be addressed as we go later on this month to a shelter in our city to help those in need. And so when I had this question, immediately I went online, like most people my age do, and I started looking up articles and different things, and I didn't really find, though, on the internet, a really satisfactory answer to this question. And so I dove into the Bible to see what the Bible had to say. And what I discovered was that it's a big issue, and it's very complex. And so what started off as intending to just be one sermon actually boiled over into two sermons. And so today is just going to be part one of a two-part sermon that I'm going to be doing. And so today I want to take a look at the wisdom of the Bible. And what does the wisdom of the Bible have to say to this question, should I give to panhandlers? Because that's the question we always ask when we're faced with it. We say, should I give? And I've, of course, pondered this question and I've wrestled with this question a lot in my life. And what I found is that the answers are varied. Even amongst Christians, interestingly enough, even though Christians, we all have, or supposed to have, relatively the same beliefs, we all vary on how we think we should respond to those asking. I learned this in my first semester in Bible college. See, I went to a Bible school that was located downtown. It was in one of the office buildings there. And the residence was actually an apartment building a few blocks away that they had bought out the whole building and had converted it into dormitories. And so in order to go to our classes, we would have to walk several blocks through the downtown core of Calgary. So naturally, we came across lots of people asking for money, and so this kind of became a hot topic of debate amongst the students in my first semester. And there was this one man I know in particular. His name was Kevin. Everyone just called him Captain Morgan because that's what he preferred to be called. And he was well known because he was in the same spot every day, and he was right in the direct route to the school, and he would always be there, and so we'd always pass him by. And I remember he had a catchphrase. He would always say, "Spare change, something to eat?" And he would say it like the same way, like hundreds of times a day, I'm sure. And he had this joke, and it was like the same joke he told every time that you would see him. And to this day, I don't know what the joke was because he would say it so fast and in this mumbled voice. But every time he told it, he laughed. Like it made him laugh. It was something about the government and money and screwing everyone. I don't know. And it was very funny. It was to him, anyways. It was a very funny joke. And so we got to know Kevin very well. And a lot of the students would respond in a lot of different ways to him. Some students would just ignore him. Some would sit and talk with him. Some people would give him money. Some people would give him food. Some people would take him out for lunch or for breakfast. Still, some other people tried to give him some more serious help and to find out his story and try to delve into some of the underlying issues of his situation. Other people would preach to him. Heck, I even tried to invite him to my wedding. So there was a whole bunch of different responses, and no one seemed to be in agreement as to what they should do with Kevin. So long story short, morally, ethically, biblically, nobody had a really good answer. And so I thought what we could do today is to kind of delve into very specifically, what does the Bible actually say about this question? Should I give to panhandlers? Now, of course, as with any matter, this conversation, it needs to be encased with wisdom, right? And wisdom really is making good decisions based on the context. Taking the moral ethical principles of the Bible and applying them as a particular situation would call for, because not every situation calls for the same response, and not everything applies in the same way. And that's really where our interpretation comes in and where the Holy Spirit helps us, is how do we take those biblical principles and apply them, and every situation might be a little different. I know this because when I was in college, one student thought it would be a good idea to invite a homeless man to stay with them in their dormitory. Now, this person was just trying to live out the commandments of the Bible, right? The commandments to love our neighbor as ourselves. And they were just trying to love other people. And so this may seem to be obedient to just what the Bible says, but they weren't exercising wisdom, because obviously there was lots of people that lived there. They were unsecured dormitories. They were co-ed dormitories. And so by inviting this person in, who had, as homeless people often do, have some mental illnesses and struggle with boundaries, this person also had some of those issues. And so this person was essentially putting a lot of other people at risk, right? And it probably actually wasn't the best way to love this person or to provide help for them. And they did this not knowing, and so it caused a lot of problems, caused a lot of conflict. And ultimately, it wasn't a wise way to apply the principles of the Bible. And so in carrying out God's command, we must realize wisdom is key. How do we actually apply the principles given a certain situation? And so for this reason, we're going to be drawing a lot from the book of Proverbs. We draw from the book of Proverbs because the book of Proverbs is like the book of wisdom that we find in the Bible. It was written by King Solomon, who is said to have been the wisest person who ever lived. In fact, it's said that he gained his wisdom out of a time with God when God answered his request to give him supernatural wisdom. And so he had more wisdom than anyone. And then he dedicated the rest of his life to finding and collecting all the wisdom that existed at the time in the world and compiling it down to be the wisest person, and to put that into a book to pass on to his son, who was to be the future king. Because he wanted to give his son direction about how to live and guide and direct his people in a wise way. And thus we have the book of Proverbs. Although he didn't write all of Proverbs, he wrote the majority of it. In fact, it's said in an ancient document that Solomon's wisdom was so great that it surpassed all the wisdom of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt, which were considered the entire world at the time, and that was where all the wisest people were. And it was said that he wrote over 3,000 Proverbs, and he had them all memorized. I mean, that's a lot of wisdom. And so that is the book of wisdom we're drawing from today. And so we're going to use that wisdom to address two questions today and two questions next week. This week, we're going to be addressing the question, why shouldn't we give and why don't we give? And then next week, we're going to touch on why do we give and why should we give? So let's begin with talking about why we shouldn't give. Now, as we know, God gives us a principle of stewardship. And that is, he says, essentially, you know, I created everything. Everything is mine. I'm the owner of everything. So everything you have is essentially a loan from me. It's a gift that I have given you, and you, like, all the money is my money, right? And so as followers of Jesus, you would believe then that the money that you have is on loan from God, and he has given it to you for his purposes, to be a good steward of that money, to take care of the portion of his money that he has given you. And of course, not just his money, but his time and his energy and his very breath that is in you. And so we are called to be good stewards of the money that we have. And so doing that, how do we use that? Well, consider these Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. A good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. Or Proverbs 21:20, the wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down. See, a wise person is wise with their money. And the Bible here says that a wise person who's wise with their money, they save up their money and they plan financially for their money so that they can give an inheritance. In fact, this principle is not just an Old Testament proverbial principle, but it's actually a principle that's carried all the way through the Bible into the New Testament. We read this from the Apostle Paul's writing to the Corinthians in the book 1 Corinthians. On the first day of every week, each of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. So here, Paul is essentially taking an approach to giving. He's saying you should budget for giving. You should save up for giving according to your income, right? It's something that should be planned into your budget, into your life. And this is a very wise thing to do. In fact, this is something that me and my wife practice. And what we found is it doesn't make us more generous. It actually gives us more freedom to be more generous, right? And that is because we make sure that the money that we are choosing to give out of our generosity, it's not money that we don't have, and it's not money that has already been allocated for other good priorities in our lives. We're making sure that we will have enough money to provide an inheritance for our children and our children's children, yet can still give. And we challenge ourselves to budget more for giving. That's a wise principle. That is a wise way to be a good steward of the money God has given us and to be generous with that. And so, how does being wise with God's money impact why we shouldn't give, why we shouldn't give to panhandlers? Well, one implication is that being a wise steward of God's money means that we want to give to people in a way that helps them and not in a way that enables their unhealthy habits or unhealthy choices or patterns that have caused them to be in that situation to need assistance in the first place. Right? We want to help people with our giving, not hurt people. Therefore, we always need to look at the causes and what has caused a person to be in a situation where they would have to ask for money. And according to the book of Proverbs, from my study, I was able to identify four reasons why people may be in this situation. Now, it's not a comprehensive list. There could be many other reasons. But I find this is a very accurate list, and because it comes from the wisdom of Proverbs, it is certainly true. And so the first reason I want to look at, and this is the first reason that quickly comes to our mind when we see a panhandler on the street, is drug and alcohol addiction. It's the first thing that comes to our mind. And actually, Proverbs does talk about this and addresses this fact. In Proverbs 21:17, we read, "Whoever loves pleasure will become poor. Whoever loves wine and olive oil will never be rich." Maybe olive oil was like the drugs of the day. I don't know. Who knows? But they were snorting olive oil. I don't know what they did, but it was wine, olive oil, I guess, were the big ones back then. They didn't have some of our advances. But you say, hey, that leads to poverty, and that may lead to someone being in need. And so if I know that someone needs money because of an addiction, then no, I'm not going to give them money, because to give that person money would be to enable them. To give them $20, I might as well be giving them a bottle of liquor, right? And so sometimes, you know, you'll see people, and they'll have those signs, right? And it'll say, like, need money for booze, at least I'm honest. Not giving you money. You know, thank you for being so honest with me. Now I know for a fact that it's not wise to give you money. I'm not going to, because I know where that money is going, and it's not going to help you. Now, this doesn't mean that we shouldn't give anything to those people, or we shouldn't talk with them or seek to help them. That's not what I'm saying at all. In fact, a better thing to do would be to actually have a conversation with that person and ask them what resource has been most helpful to them in their struggle and in their recovery. And then when they tell you that resource, then commit to that person that you're going to make a donation of either your time or your money to that organization that provides that resource in their name. That would be a much healthier way to be able to help that person. And that's one of the things that we're doing through our Project Serve. Right, on the 21st, we're going to be going to a local organization that provides for the needs of those who are in need. It's a local shelter that provides meals and food for those in need. And so we're giving to that resource. And this is a great way for us to be able to connect out to the world, which is what we're trying to focus on this season. And we also reach out to people, too, through our clothing loft and our food bank. And these are good resources that you can give to that really seeks to help people in tangible ways while not feeding into their unhealthy patterns, while not enabling people. However, it is good to go out sometimes, like we are this season, once a year, to another organization, and getting outside of our church walls, because I think the Bible makes it very clear we're not just supposed to reach people in our walls, but we're supposed to reach outside of our walls and intentionally pursue the lost where they are. And often those people are not in our churches or won't even come to our churches for those resources, but need to go to neutral organizations, and it's great to be able to help and serve and give to them as well. And so I encourage you to bring your donations and put them in the Christmas boxes we have here, as those will go to the Compass to support those people. So that's the first reason, addiction. The second reason a person might become impoverished is laziness. Now, this is not to say that laziness necessarily leads to homelessness. I think this is important because it's a common misconception that people are homeless because they're lazy. In fact, that's not a major contributing factor at all to people being homeless or people needing money. However, being lazy can lead one to be in need for money. Just like when I was in high school, I was always asking my parents to borrow money, to go out to a movie with my friends or whatever, because I was too lazy to go out and get a job and work for myself, right? Being lazy does often put us in a situation where we need to ask. And my parents, when they gave me money, were enabling me, because now I was enabled to not have to go and get a job because they're willing to give it to me. And we read this in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. Overtime brings no wealth. If someone is impoverished because they're lazy, right, then giving to that person, like I said, is not helpful to that person. It is enabling the person. So it is not good to give money to people that are lazy and enable them in that way. In fact, the Apostle Paul is very direct when he talks about this. There's a situation actually going on in a church in the New Testament, in the church of the Thessalonica, and it's a church where there are some people there that are kind of feeding off the community, and this is what he says to them from the Bible. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy. They are busy bodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. Right there. Now, the third reason the Bible gives for why some people may become impoverished is simply foolishness, right? Simply foolishness. We read this in the book of Proverbs, chapter 22. Do not be one who shakes hands in pledge or puts up security for debts. If you lack the means to pay, your very bed will be snatched from under you. So here the Bible is talking to people who have been unwise with their money. They've essentially went bankrupt here and they've lost their homes, right? Speaking to those who are foolish and not wise with their money. And I've heard lots of stories from people who are asking for money. In fact, we get a lot of phone calls even at the church. One reason, if you ever phone me and I don't pick up my phone, that's one of the reasons. In fact, on my voicemail, I say I don't really pick up my phone. So keep in mind, if you have my cell phone number, try that one. You're much more likely to get me. But people are always asking for money. And when the people ask for money, there's always a story. And the story is always there as some kind of a victim. There's something that has happened to them. But essentially, usually what it comes down to is that they have made some foolish decisions. Like if you really dig down into the depths of their story. And so am I going to give a person like that money? Well, is giving that person money going to enable them? Well, I think chances are if the person has made some foolish decisions, right, and has learned from that, and that has led to some deep consequences, like perhaps homelessness or asking others for money, which can be a very humiliating act. Chances are that person has learned their lesson. And sometimes giving them money is helpful to them, and they will bring themselves out of it, and they have a plan to go forward. So I wouldn't say this one can be kind of gray, and sometimes foolishness happens once, but it won't necessarily happen again. Now, the fourth and last reason why a person may be impoverished is that they're not actually impoverished, but they're simply pretending to be impoverished. Proverbs actually mentions this in chapter 13, verse 7. One person pretends to be rich, yet has nothing. Another person pretends to be poor, yet has great wealth. Listen, if I see a panhandler get out of a BMW and walk across the street and, you know, set up camp there, I'm not going to give that person money, right? Because again, I'm just feeding into their exploitation of other people, right? Obviously, I think that one kind of goes without saying. So all of these are reasons why we maybe should not give to people who are asking for money. But there are many other reasons why we choose not to give. And these are important to consider as well. For most of us, I think the main reason we don't get to people is because we don't know the fullness of their situation. And we think, if we don't know the truth, how can we really give? Because how can I make a wise decision unless I know all the information that's necessary to make a wise decision? For example, let's say you know someone, let's say you know that if someone's lazy, you shouldn't give to them. But how do you know if this person is in their situation because they're lazy? Or how do you know if it's not some other reason that may be outside of their control that is causing them to be in a situation where they can't hold down a job? I mean, you simply don't know what's going on. And so sometimes giving to panhandlers is a difficult issue, and it's different than giving, let's say, to a family or a friend, because family and friends, you know their situation, right? You know the truth about what's going on, and so you're able to make wiser decisions because you understand the context of the situation. But you don't know a panhandler's story. So the question is then, what if you don't know the truth of their story? What should you do? Well, first I say it was hear their story, and if you don't know the truth of their story, that doesn't necessarily mean that you shouldn't give to that person, right? I think the truth of the matter is, everyone that asks you and you don't know their story, they could be a scam artist. But I know for a fact that this person is definitely a child of God, someone who God's loved, and is someone who is worthy of grace. And I am called to be one who gives grace. So I say, more often than not, we use this, I don't know the whole story, as an excuse. And I don't think that should always be something that stops us from giving. Now that being said, there are some other reasons which are, let's call them much less noble reasons. We probably don't like to admit that we have these reasons. But there's other reasons deep down that what causes us sometimes not to give. For example, sometimes we're just too busy, right? I feel I'm more important, I'm just too busy, so when someone stops me on the street, I just couldn't give them the time of day, so I just keep on walking. Or perhaps we just ignore this person because we're uncomfortable. They make us uncomfortable, we don't like to be uncomfortable, and so we're just going to avoid eye contact altogether. Or it simply could be that money is an idol in our lives, and we hold on to that way too strongly, and we just don't want to give up our money. I just don't want to give you money. Or here's one reason that's really bad, and I think most of us wouldn't admit this, but if we had to be really honest, sometimes we think this. Maybe even if it's subconscious sometimes. But sometimes we think that we're actually better than this person. We think that this person has gotten to their situation due to poor decisions that they have made, therefore they deserve their situation. You know? And so, you reap what you sow, so I'm not going to help you. Now, all these reasons, of course, are terrible reasons. And we should feel terrible for if any of those reasons are motivating us. At the end of the day, yes, we need to exercise wisdom, but we also need to exercise some compassion, my friends. And if we realize that we have wrong motives, then we need to repent of those and help God to change our attitude so we can have more of an attitude of Christ Jesus. But I think there's one last reason, if I had to mention, why we don't give to panhandlers. And sometimes this comes from us who know the most and are most experienced with these types of people and understand the situation. We may look at this person and say, if I give this person a couple dollars, it's a drop in the bucket. Because you understand how complex their situation is, how complex addiction and homelessness and other things can be, and how it's going to take a good amount of personal involvement or resources or organizations coming together and help over many years to be able to pull this person out of their situation. And so you look at it, and it seems very desperate. It seems so dire. So you think, what difference can I make? And then so you just don't do anything. It's kind of like how sometimes, you know, if you ever go to like a really fancy resort in a poor country, the local people aren't allowed on the resort. So they all kind of hang out on the outside of the resort. And then when you leave the resort, you kind of get overwhelmed by all these people coming to you asking you for money. And you look at all these people and you almost get overwhelmed. And so you end up just helping none of those people, right? You think, if I can't make a significant difference, I'm not going to make any difference at all. And although this may seem like a reasonable response, I don't think that should stop us from giving. Because even if you make a little difference, it's still a difference. And every difference makes a difference. It's like the story one time of a man. He was walking along the beach. He saw this little boy, and he was picking up starfish, and he was throwing them back into the ocean. And the man stopped, and he asked the boy, he said, "What are you doing?" And the boy said, "Oh, well, the tide is going out. All these starfish are stranded here. And so if I don't pick them up and throw them back, they're going to die." And the man looked at the boy, and he said, "Well, there's like miles and miles and miles of beach, and there's literally thousands of starfish. How can you make a difference?" And the boy bent down, picked up a starfish, and threw it back in the ocean. And he said, "It made a difference to that one." That's true. It made a difference. A little difference is a difference. And it makes a difference, my friends. Jesus, wisest person that ever lived, he was actually wiser than Solomon. Because it says in the Bible that Jesus was the embodiment of wisdom. And what did Jesus do? Well, we see Jesus, he's going out, and he's feeding a whole lot of people temporarily. I mean, maybe one meal. That's it. But he's doing it. And he's healing people. But did he heal every single person? No. He healed some people with the limited capacity and time and in the place that he happened to be present. He did what he could according to his capabilities. And that's all we're called to do, is to do something. Even though Jesus understood the capacity, if anyone could understand the expanse and to fathom the depth of need, it was Jesus, yet he didn't feel overwhelmed by that. He still did what he could do in his situation. And so there's lots of sinful reasons we don't give to panhandlers. And there's lots of wise reasons, too, why maybe we shouldn't give to panhandlers. But the truth is that giving is giving, and giving is helping. And every bit makes a bit of difference. And so I think at the end of the day, yes, there's wisdom, but we also have to ask ourselves, what is our motivation? Because I think it all comes down to motivation at the end of the day. Are we motivated out of compassion, or are we motivated out of selfishness? You know, I used to be like a all wisdom guy. You know, lots of times throughout my life, people would always come up to me and they would say, "You're very wise beyond your years." And I used to read Proverbs a lot, you know, especially like in high school and university, and I would study Proverbs and I would try to apply them to my life and be very wise. When I wrote this sermon several years ago, I was sort of still in that kind of wise guy kind of mentality. I mean, not that kind of wise guy. But, you know, I was seeking wisdom and thinking that that was the answer to everything. I think I've changed a lot since then. I read a lot more Jesus now, and I have wisdom still, but I hold it lightly. And I consider my emotions, I consider my heart, I consider my motivations too. I think those are extremely important. Because I look to Jesus, and Jesus was extremely wise, right? In fact, he had more wisdom than anyone. And didn't he help us? In fact, aren't we in the same situation as every single person we've ever seen on the street? Aren't we lazy? Aren't we desperate addicts? Absolutely. Aren't we sinners who have all made terrible choices? You are. Each and every single one of you are. You're in desperate need of God's grace. Now, God, it says, sent his very one and only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us, to save us. Now, was that a wise decision? I don't think it was very wise. In a sense, he's kind of enabling us, isn't he? We're desperate, hopeless sinners, addicts. Most of us actually turn our back on his sacrifice, and we just spit on it. We drag it through the mud. In fact, if you've ever received God's grace and sinned again, you've done that. That's not very wise. You know what I'm saying? But he did it. And he did it out of love and out of grace. And realize he's ultimately wise too. You know, we sometimes say we don't know the whole situation. God knows the whole story. He knows every single one of your stories full well. And he knows what you deserve. And he knows that you don't deserve what you're going to get. And yet he gives us freedom, forgiveness, eternal life. Yet he gives his own son for us. I think we always need to take our conversations about wisdom and we need to cloud them in the air of the cross. We need to cover them in the cross. Always do things in light of the cross and realize, is the cross wise? Because what we think about wisdom, if we put it next to the cross, it kind of blows our idea of wisdom a little bit out of the water, I think. And so when I look upon God's grace and the strange type of wisdom that he showed when he gave to me, who was a poor beggar on the street, it makes me more willing to give to others and to extend grace, and it changes my perception of wisdom. And so it would be my hope, too, that you also would grasp that if you ever saw someone on the street, you're no better than them. In fact, would that be the greatest sin of all, to think you're better than anybody else? And that have not you received just as much grace as this person is asking for you right now, no matter what they ask of you? So would you grasp the wonder of the cross, the beauty of what he has done for you, the grace he has shown, and would you embrace God's true wisdom as personified in Jesus? So I'd love to pray for you right now, if I could, and ask that the Holy Spirit would take that intellectual concept that Jesus paid it all for you, and that would sink down into your heart, that it would affect your emotions in such a way that the next time that you were in a situation, that compassion would take over, and it would lead the way. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to pray for each and every single person here today. I pray for them that you would not only give them wisdom, but that you would give them Jesus-like wisdom. That you would give them your wisdom. Or this is a scary prayer, but I've prayed this sometimes, and there was a man in my church, he used to pray this all the time, and I know it would rock his world on a weekly basis. And it is this: God, would you give us your eyes? Would you help us to see other people the way that Jesus sees them? We would have your supernatural compassion and love. Help us to truly grasp the grace we have been shown. And we realize that would that overflow into a generosity to other people. Because we are people who have been shown such generosity. Holy Spirit, would you help us to do this? Would you effectualize this in our lives, that it would not just be something that stays on the surface of our minds, but that would sink in and would actually convert into practice and changing the way that we interact every day and how we view other people. Forgive us for our sins, Lord. Forgive us for any bad motivation that we've ever had or if we've ever turned a cold hand to anyone that has asked of us. Or would you give us a deep compassion, your compassion, to love people the way that you love? And would you change us from within? Forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for thinking that we were ever better than anyone else. For your glory and your grace, Lord Jesus. Amen.